killing is making a choice.
Where are they?
Choose between one life or the other. Your friend, the district attorney, or his blushing bride to be.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Graham.
And I'm Mike.
And this week we're talking about The Dark Knight.
Woo!
Yes, this is part
two. So excited.
This is part two of three. We did Batman Begins last week, so we're doing Dark Knight this week. And it's going to be great. This was better, I'm going to say. I think this is the best of the three.
I think the reason you talk about the Dark Knight trilogy is to talk about The Dark Knight.
Yeah, because that's not a controversial opinion.
Yeah,
the Dark Knight
true,
is
yeah.
definitely like 100% the best of the three. So, we leave off in the Batman Begins with Batman talking to Lieutenant Gordon at this point. I think he's not commissioner yet.
He becomes commissioner in The Dark Knight.
In The Dark Knight, yeah. And basically, there's an ominous like calling card, and it's a Joker playing card. So the Dark Knight comes back, and Batman is Batman, basically. Like, he is the savior of Gotham City. He's, like, cleaning up the streets. It's awesome. Everyone loves him. And also, Aaron Eckhart plays Harvey Dent, who is the DA, right? And he's kind of taking up the mantle of Batman in, like, the public sector and, like, cleaning up the streets that way. And the villain in this movie is Heath Ledger's Joker, which was, like, expertly played by Heath Ledger, I think. And so we'll leave it at that and just go with general thoughts. What are your general thoughts?
Wow.
Good introduction. I'll start it off. I really enjoyed this film. I think first time I saw it, I was like, that was a really cool action movie. I was like, when is this, 2012?
2008.
2008. Yeah, wait.
2008.
Yeah, well, I was just a young buck then.
coming up in the game.
We were like, yeah, 12.
Yeah, yeah, we were like 12, so I did not appreciate it as much. And I think I reanalyzed the film, and particularly like trying to look at what the Joker was actually doing was the way more interesting than any other of the plots. Like, he was actually fighting like mob boss corruption in the beginning and stuff like that, and kind of upsetting like the actual like crime elite of Gotham, and that's where kind of his hell was raising from. And like, also he blew up a hospital and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think actually as a like, he was kind of the psychotic character, and in all of this, seeing how dynamic his villain was, and even when he's like standing over Dent and like big speeches and stuff, you had such a layered character that I think it was such a rich plot that I really can't see in any other superhero film, let alone the Dark Trilogy.
Yeah, I also agree. I saw it like IMAX, like when I was 12, and like it was just a lot coming at me as a young 12-year-old girl. And I don't know. I watched it again. And I was like, wow, this movie's like amazing. Like, one of the things that really struck me was the opening scene of like the bank robbery.
My God, it's
so amazing.
Well done,
it's so well done. It like sets up like the Joker perfectly. It's like engaging. It's like surprising. It's like one of the best opening scenes I've like ever seen, I think.
Like, you talk about a great villain introduction. That whole scene, because in one scene it sums up exactly how the Joker works and it sets up the rest of the movie. Yeah, I mean, talking about this movie, you have to talk about the Joker, because he is such a... Every time he's on the screen, though, it's electric, and Heath Ledger's just incredible. I also want to talk about Christian Bale in this movie, because a popular source of criticism is that Bale's performance is very bland, which I don't think is fair, because I think when you contrast his performance with Heath Ledger's performance, Heath Ledger is so...
Come off bland.
Yeah, like, Bale... I think Bale plays it perfectly with Bruce Wayne. Very conflicted, but at the same time, very stoic. And I think that's where the character is in his arc throughout the three movies.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Christian Bale?
I think I agree with you that comparing him to Heath Ledger makes it extremely difficult to find the merits. And, like, we all know that Christian Bale is a very talented actor. Like, there's no disputing that. I think Bruce Wayne was a little richer in some ways, that he wasn't... kind of, he really settled into the role of, like, what he wanted and who he was, and he wasn't just, like, the fake playboy anymore. Like, he actually kind of took, like, a more reserved stance. Batman was, like, the peak of gruff voice. Where is she, man? Where is she? And, like, it was what it was, but I'm saying he just had the big, thick bat cowl, and, like, his neck didn't move, so it looked a little silly, and I think compared to, like, such a dynamic... Like, and especially so dependent on the facial expressions and these weird, like, eye little glints of Heath Ledger. He's a very good physical actor as well as, like, just, he's great. But I think him limited to, like, a hard plastic suit versus Heath Ledger, it is hard to compare the two.
Yeah.
And that's why maybe he looked more bland in comparison.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see how you would think he's bland. And also, I feel like they tried to incorporate a little bit of that, like, I'm a billionaire playboy thing. And it just, like, never works for me with Christian Bale. Like, I never, like, it never really reads, like, really well on me. Like, the part in the party, he was giving the speech, I'm like, it makes sense, but, like, also I just don't see it in Christian Bale. Like, he doesn't have it in him to, like, kind of project this image and also be the Batman. I think he did a very good job of the role, and I don't think he was bland per se, but, yeah, I think that was one of the faults I found with his performance.
He was definitely outshined.
Yeah.
I will give
yeah,
that.
But I don't think he tried. I think he knew that.
Yeah, no, he, yeah.
The strength of Batman has always been his villains. And
yeah.
The Joker is his nemesis. It's his Lex Luthor's Moriarty and just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joker is definitely the best of the three villains.
Yeah.
Oh, really. Yeah.
I think mostly for me is because, and also just like one of the strengths of this movie compared to the other two, is that it's very like grounded in reality. Like the first one, he goes to like some mystical, like Asian, like, you know, Ra's al Ghul, like magic, and you know, and then the third one is like a hell, like a prison in a pit, and somehow there is a mat.
Yeah, somehow close to Gotham.
Yeah.
We will address that in the movie. It is explained.
So, yeah, but this one's like very, there's no like mysticism about it. It's like he's just crazy, and he kills people with like very like physical, like explosion.
The pencil.
And, like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
The
breaks the
eye,
stick
yeah.
in half.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. It's never like, oh, psychological drug. It's like very real violence. And
yeah.
I feel like that's a very good selling point for the movie because it makes it more grounded, I think. And it doesn't make it as like, ooh, as the other two are. And it just makes it more compelling for me.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I give credit to Nolan for, this might be partially to maintain the PG-13 rating, but the way he cuts away, like with the exception of the pencil scene, like you never see anything too graphic, but most of it's just left to your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he slits the guy's mouth, the Liza Sirius scene.
Yeah.
Like Nolan does a good job of cutting away to leave enough to your imagination.
Yeah.
A lot. The thing I like the most about the Joker in this movie is none of it is explained. Like, you
he's
have his character,
dude.
And it doesn't waste time being like, oh, he used to be a... There's a theory that he's an ex-Marine who's suffering from PTSD or something. But, like, if you take 10 minutes in the film and explain that, you lose the mythos and you lose the mysteriousness.
Yeah.
And what
like,
works
where did
so
he
well.
Come from?
Yeah, it's not important because the movie still works and it works even better because his motivation is just to cause chaos and just ruin Batman's day. And
yeah.
That's such...
Well, there was an interesting, this was from Glenn Welland's book, The Caped Crusade, that he has a theory about this, and it's rooted a lot in the acting, so I kind of am more willing to accept it other than other theories about the Batman series that, these are like the dog chasing the car scene when he's with Harvey Dent, and he's like a weird force of chaos who just likes to see the world burn, and then when he goes, he's like, I don't know what I'd do if I actually catch the car, he's like, he's lying in a way, and that's what Glenn Weldon tries to express, and I'm kind of just taking up. Sorry, NPR. I don't want to. I'm not derivative
we're
of you.
Reciting,
reciting you. We're not you. And
as much as we try,
But what he says is that he's lying. Ultimately, he does have this big scheme. He does want to see it all topple, and he's not saying he has a plan. Like the whole time, he does have a plan. He sees his steps. He's actually doing things that are clever. He's taking money from this and siphoning it to that and actually sets up things with an economic base around it. And yes, he also, like, no one should trust him, but, like, that's why it only works in the short run, I guess, in a way. So I thought he was more, like, had two tiers to that, and that's why the film ended up with kind of the downfall of Batman in a way with Harvey Dent and things like that. Like, he's because of Harvey Dent, really.
Yeah. I think he's a... Oh, sorry.
No.
I think he's a character that, like, says he thrives on chaos, but once you look at, like, what he does, like, there's no way he could just be like, ah, we'll just throw it together. Like, it's clearly carefully planned and calculated to achieve some end, and I think I kind of agree that, like, it's clearly, like, he's not just, like, just being, like, total anarchy, I'll just do whatever. He's, like, very clearly has something in mind because, like, these plans are so, like, convoluted and, like, they always have some sort of twist that clearly had to have been planned somehow.
Yeah. Like, he's sadistic. Like, he's definitely, like, the bomb inside the body of the guy in the jail cell. Like, that takes some serious planning, and it's also, it's all very timing dependent, so there is a plan there, but he's not really driven by any kind of compassion or emotion. There is an ultimate nothingness. He just does want to see it burn, but in that process, there is a goal.
Yeah.
The whole thing, like, yeah, he's an agent of chaos, and yet, like, the whole middle part of the movie is just dependent when he plans to get captured and then times it so that switches the location of Harvey.
Yeah.
It's just, that's all very complicated. But what What's great about this movie is and the Joker's character is that it still stays true to the Joker's origin, because if you look at his origin, he's really there to just show that anyone is one bad day away from being him, and that's what he tells Batman when it's during the interrogation scene. And he just says, oh, these people, when their moral code, it's a bad joke, drop to the first sign of trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the exact quote, but it's so, like, it's he's just trying to show Batman that the people of Gotham are him, but they just have an outward facade that they put up. And he just thinks the worst of human beings, and then Batman thinks the best of human beings, and then you have the two come together at the end with the fairy scene, yeah. And then it turns out Batman ends up being correct.
Yeah.
And it just, my favorite line in the whole movie is at the end when Batman, I think it's when he's hanging upside down, Batman's beating him, and he tells Batman, you really think I'd risk losing the key to the soul of Gotham in a fistfight with you? And that's just because Batman beats him up, and Batman, he wins, but at the same time, he loses the soul, because he loses Harvey Dent, and it's brilliant. Like, it's just a perfect ending to the movie, because even though Batman wins, he still loses Harvey Dent and has to go on the run, and mm-hmm. just, like, no superhero movie before or after has ever come close to the level of complexity that this movie is.
Yeah, I think that's also due, because I usually am not a Christopher Nolan fan. I've said it before, I'll say it again, he focuses too much on the twist. But I think what was good about this movie was that he kind of, like, reined it in, but put, like, the twist to good use, because I feel like he used all of his, like, misdirection energy on, like, a lot of the Joker's schemes, so you could really focus on, like, an actual plot and, like, an actual me actually caring about what happens than, like, just trying to figure out, like, what the big twist is at the end. Because it really wasn't that big of a twist at the end. Like, there was a twist, but I wasn't like, a what?
Yeah.
type of thing. So I really felt like Christopher Nolan, like, put his, like, actual, like, he does have a talent for the twist, but he put it to good use rather than just, like, have it for the sake of having a twist.
I also think that turns out the Joker planned to get caught. I think that was sort of like his big, oh, look at this. And it seems like old hat today, because so many movies, like, Skyfall did it, The Avengers did it.
Yeah.
Star Trek Into Darkness did it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's sort of the big twist, and then the movie just, which I kind of like, because he gets it out of the way, he gets it out of his system, and then the rest of the film is able to progress. Not like The Dark Knight Rises, where the twist at the end kind of derails.
Yeah.
Not so, okay, we'll get to it when we talk to it, but like, yeah, I think that that's like the Nolan-esque is, oh my god, the Joker planned to get caught.
Yeah, but I think it also, it makes sense for the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with the Joker, like, literally anything could happen, so I don't know, I just felt it made sense for the character, so like, character-wise, it also like added to that, as opposed to just being something he felt like he had to throw in because he just loves a good twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay, we'll move on to, how did you guys feel about the hard recast of Katie Holmes to Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I actually, like,
I tell you the truth, I don't like either of them. They're so interchangeable to me that I was just like, I had recently over the summer rewatched Batman Begins, and I was like, oh, that's not Maggie Gyllenhaal? I'm like, huh, well, I guess it is. And then I just kind of went with it. You know, I think she did a better job than Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
God rest Katie Holmes. Mad Money forever. But
you know, fun fact, she turned down The Dark Knight to do Mad Money.
No.
Yeah, that was not a good
idiot. Like, she knew. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, yes, I do think Maggie Gyllenhaal did a better job with the part. Didn't bother me. I was just like, yeah, this, I see where you're coming from. I could roll with it.
Yeah. Does that mean Rachel is just like kind of an unnecessary character?
Well, I think the problem is she's used to drive, like, she's the catalyst for Harvey Dent's devolution.
Yeah.
Word?
Yeah.
Devolving into Two-Face.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that is a flaw in all of Nolan's films, that usually the female characters are just there to further characterize the male character.
Yeah,
Prestige,
yeah.
Yeah. Every single movie.
Oh my god, Inception. Wow.
Inception, yeah.
Inception. It's literally. Memento?
Yeah. Oh my god, Christopher Nolan, what are you doing?
Yeah. I actually,
Christopher Nolan's there.
Because he's listening to this.
If you're listening.
He got us good.
Yeah. I think maybe it's just because Rachel has much more to do in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't prefer either of them. I think they're both fine, and I think Katie Holmes, I think it's because Rachel has more to do in Batman Begins. And even though Katie Holmes is not as good an actress as Maggie Gyllenhaal, Rachel in The Dark Knight is just kind of there to cause a conflict between Bruce Wayne and Harvey Dent, and then to characterize Harvey Dent. So I don't feel strongly about it.
Yeah, that's fair. I just always enjoy a good hard recast.
Yeah.
When you're, like, watching them, you're like, it's that it's not the same person. And they're just, like, acting like nothing's different. Like, it tickles me.
Yeah. Game of Thrones has had no shame.
Yeah.
Hasn't Dario been recast,
he was, like blonde with, like, dreads, and then he was just, like, brown hair. Or something.
You're like, this is fine. Like,
no one really cares.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that no one really cares about continuity.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like,
reality is here.
Yeah. So, another thing I wanted to talk about was, I also noticed a callback to one where, one's, like, villain, what's his face?
The Scarecrow.
In the beginning. I was like, oh, look at that. Other continuity, fun continuity. Like, you paid attention.
Because, that's a good scene because it kind of summarizes what Batman has been up to, just, you know, busting crime.
Yeah. I think they did a very good job of, like, opening this movie.
Yeah.
And, like, introducing the Joker and then, like, kind of, like, catching up to Batman in an exciting and engaging way. Like, I really enjoyed that part of the film. But what did you guys feel about Harvey Dent's character and his kind of, like, devolving into Two-Faced? Two-Face? Yeah.
I'll feel this one first.
feel it out.
Yeah, I haven't used that sentence ever, so I had to work it in somewhere.
I'm like the prison.
I thought he was good. I liked his, like, dynamic between, is it Rachel's Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Between him and her and Bruce Wayne. I thought, like, their kind of romantic tension was, like, an interesting extra element. I thought they did it a good job without making it, like, over camp of, I don't know, romantic tension between the three. And, like, obviously he's going to go for Rachel first. But I think he would do that either way. You know what I mean? I guess the innocent person, I don't really know. That's an interesting philosophical question for Batman. But I think his character, especially when he starts to turn and become a little psychotic, I felt it was a little abrupt. But I think if the Joker had been there longer or seen him twice, I think I would have enjoyed that more. You know what I mean? Instead of just, like, the one, however long he had with him in
the hospital,
turning him into this crazed person. I would have liked a little bit more taunting, I suppose, and to kind of convert him. But I don't know. Maybe that could have been. I still enjoy this film a lot. Being a little too nitpicky, I guess you could find a problem with anything.
We have to talk about the movie's flaws.
I think they kind of alluded to that side of him and that side, like, being able to emerge when he was with the.
Oh, the guy who shot the officer.
Yeah, and he was gonna kill him. He was already gonna do the coin flip thing even before Rachel had died, even before, he got half his body burned. Like, he already had that kind of, like, crazy person side in him to, like, get revenge or, like, get justice in this case.
Like, when he says he's the Batman.
Yeah.
I think that's a criticism of the movie, is that, and apparently in the original plan, it was supposed to be two films, like, they were going to introduce the Joker and then have Harvey Dent's, like, end Harvey Dent and then have Harvey Dent's turn in the third film, but they decided to condense it. And I actually think what I really like about this is that they put in little details like that where he's going to kill the cop, or the corrupt cop.
Yeah.
And he says he's the Batman. So you see, like, he's not all there mentally.
Already,
and then his whole world is, you know, exacting justice and Rachel. And then once he loses Rachel, he never does anything super villainy. He always goes after the people that he blames and he thinks he's justified in it.
Yeah.
And that, I love the scene in the hospital when, you know, introduced a little anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a great... I don't have a problem with the character. I think that the characterization made sense. Maybe it was a little rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it made sense for the character, and I thought that it was very talented how Nolan dropped little hints along the way, and then it all culminated.
Yeah. No, I just loved when they're introducing Harvey, and they kind of, they're basically like, he is the opposite of Bruce Wayne. Look at him punch the guy in the corner. Doesn't he have charm? He's a white knight. White knight. Not a dark knight. A white one.
That's Nolan.
Yeah.
Or like, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Is that foreshadowing?
Wow, what could that possibly mean?
That's like some Martin Scorsese crap. That's just
like... this is symbolism! Yeah. Also... I'm very intrigued by Alfred, his butler.
Yes.
There was that one part, he was like, when I was in Burma fighting crime and, like there was this diamond smuggler. And I was like, wait, what? Why were you in Burma?
That's dope.
Just drop that into conversation.
Like, I don't know how you ended up here, but also dope.
Evidently, Michael Caine came up with that on his own. He came up with a characterization of Alfred because Nolan told him to. He's like, hey, why not be an ex-military guy? But I think that kind of goes along with the whole Joker not explaining everything, just having this scene, and then you look at Alfred, because usually Alfred's just, you know, the wise old butler, but he has an edge. He's more layered than that, and it's just another example.
It gave him really some justification in a way for why he was always giving so much advice.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's seen
he knows. He's been there.
He's been in the shit. Like, he, I don't know, he's good. But, like, yeah, it does justify his thing, but it's a little bold, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I would have wanted, but I'm just being nitpicky, I think.
You have to nitpick.
That's
like,
true. That's true. Yeah. No, you're right.
The one biggest, my biggest problem with the whole movie is during the dinner party scene when the Joker, or Batman jumps out the window and saves Rachel, mm-hmm. and then it just cuts to the next scene.
Yeah.
Like, what did the Joker do? Like,
yeah.
Was he just like, okay,
see y'all later.
So Harvey Dent never refers to the fact that he got knocked out by Bruce Wayne and locked in a closet when the Joker attacked his party.
This is true.
Like, he never asked for, I don't know, just like that. The thing is, when you watch the movie, you don't think about that. You only think about that afterwards because it's just edited.
You just kind of plow
through it. It's not important, but just like something. But
yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. No, but for all like the realness in this movie, physics seem to not apply. Like, especially the part where Rachel falls out of a window and they just like fall into their car.
Yeah,
like,
you
that
thought
she
was
gonna.
It was a special bat cape
okay.
that had slightly
that his armor
qualities.
Stronger.
He
like,
has great knees.
I was like,
trained by ninjas.
I was like, that's not. Okay.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Money can fix anything, is the solution to Batman.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, and also I feel like. What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. We'll never know.
Can we talk about the action scenes? Because they're leaps and bounds better than...
Mm-hmm.
Just that whole... The whole scene in Hong Kong when he jumps off the building.
Yeah.
And that is so...
It's cool.
Oh, my God. I don't think people appreciate how awesome that scene... You have to see that scene in IMAX. Like, that...
Yeah.
That scene was incredible.
Yeah. No, I think... I don't know. I feel like just this movie was much cleaner than Begin.
Like, even though Nolan worked out, like,
the
he
case.
Understood
yeah.
exactly what he needed to do.
Yeah. No. I also liked just how, like... You saw, like, the development of Batman. Like, we talked about in the last movie. Like, he was, like, in the beginning, he was, like, trying to, like, escape without, like, a trace. And, like, he like, clearly couldn't. And now he's just, like, out and gone.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Okay, what's your guys' favorite scene in the movie?
Favorite scene? I don't know. Anything that, I don't know. Just, Heath Ledger was just so... engaging for me, like all of his scenes, like in the interrogation room. Like,
I was gonna say the interrogation scene is, I think, is the best scene in the whole trilogy.
Because he's like,
oh man,
I don't know. He's like terrifying, but like oddly captivating. Where you like have to.
You
watch
can't
him.
Look away. Yeah. You
can't look away, and I think he's clearly the best part of the movie.
Oh
like,
yeah.
That
whole, just where he lays out his philosophy to Batman, and then Batman just starts punching him, but it doesn't work because Batman has nothing to.
Yeah.
Oh my! It's such a good.
Crazy. I think the whole hospital sequence, like not just the parts with Harvey Dent, but the like improvisational parts, like you know the explosion.
Oh yeah, it wasn't yeah.
That he was like he was the detonator was supposed to go off on the first try, and then like that little like skit almost kind of thing he has of trying to get it to go off. And
yeah,
and then he's like, oh, and then
yeah.
Oh man,
and him. I think honestly, just Heath Ledger. I could just if they added an extra 2 hours to that movie of just extra scenes of Heath Ledger, I would be like,
makes sense.
Send
I
me
think
that.
He
like,
only has 33 minutes of screen time in the whole movie,
that's
and you feel like he's in every scene because his presence
yeah.
is so.
Yeah. You saw it. Did you see Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
How does it compare?
The thing that I appreciate about Jared Leto is he isn't trying to ape Ledger. It's a very different performance. I don't really like it that much, but it's not.
Saw,
it's not
like,
just trying to redo Ledger,
yeah.
and I like that. It's much like it's a much different feeling.
It's
Joker.
More of like if you know like the Batman. What do you call it? Cartoon series?
Animated series.
The Batman the Animated Series. If you look at that Joker, it's a little bit of a cross between that and a sadistic Ledger. Like, he's, like, in nightclubs. Like, he's negotiating things.
Yeah.
It's more of the... I think you saw, like, the serialized Batman in that thing, like, where he's dropping off rooftops and capturing random criminals with, like, who are kind of cartoonish and, like, everything like that. It was definitely uniquely different, and, like, a lot of things were good. But, yeah, I agree with you. But although I know he wanted mouth scars, the director said no. Like, but
yeah, he has no restraint.
Yeah,
come
it's
on.
Like, just like that's one step
no
so far.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I just because just I think Suicide Squad was trying to go for more of, like, a cartoonish feel.
Yeah, it's very comic booky, and that's, I actually really like that about it, because the Dark Knight trilogy is not comic booky.
At all.
Batman Begins a little, but...
Yeah, I was gonna say.
The rest of the films are not very comic booky.
Yeah, Begins is very... I feel like Begins was very... comic booky.
Yeah, and then The Dark Knight is a crime drama.
It leaves that all the home
with,
behind, yeah.
Like, Batman.
Like, it's Joker. Not, it doesn't feel like a, like I guess like a cartoon at all in the sense that these are, like, very larger-than-life characters. Like, it very much brings to the Joker, especially, like, down to earth. Like, his makeup is very, it looks like he just, like, put it on, like, because he was crazy, as opposed to just, like, a very made-up villain. He seems like just, like, a crazy guy from, like, the asylum who escaped and just, like, wants to wreak havoc as opposed to just like a I'll get you type of thing.
If you watch the interrogation scene when Batman starts punching him, during that scene Heath Ledger told Christian Bale to actually hit him. So you can actually see the makeup smear.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's
great. I love it.
It is, yeah, it is as close to a perfect not a perfect film, but
I won't say perfect, but it's
a great,
it's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
Like, this deserves its spot. Like, Batman Begins was way too high on the top 250. This deserves, I think it's what, number 8 or 9?
It's four.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
But the list is not static, correct?
It's not static. The top ones rarely change, I would say. Like, Shawshank has been one since we've started. Like, it's Shawshank. Top 10 is Shawshank, Godfather 2, Dark Knight, Schindler's List, 12 Angry Men, Pulp Fiction, Lord of the Rings, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Fight Club. So we've done 3 of the top 10.
That makes sense.
I would love to do Good, the Bad, and the Ugly just as a
second. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
All right, this is not time for fun.
Not time for that, but yeah.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any, like, stray observations about the movie that they would like to share?
Well shot. Just generically well shot.
Yeah.
Love the suspense.
The chase scene. The chase scene with the Batmobile in the back pod is awesome.
Yeah, no, I think I was watching with a friend, and we were like, this is the end, right? Like, this is... But then I was like, no, there's a hospital scene that has to come. It's awesome, because it's like a climactic scene, but it's not...
And it's like, it comes right halfway
into, like,
the movie.
It's like right in the middle
of the perfect halfway point.
Yeah.
And then, because that signifies the start of the Harvey Dent arc.
Yeah.
It's just... Oh, man.
Oh, good movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Fantastic. This is probably my all-time favorite movie.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's all we had to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we could talk more
just about how great and, like, specific scenes that we loved and, like, specific, like, movements, probably. Just, like...
Lines.
Words. Just, he said that one word so well, and I just really felt... But we're going to cut it off here for you. So you can follow Halftime on Twitter at HalftimeGU. You can follow the Georgetown Voice on Twitter at GTown Voice. Like us on Facebook, Instagram... We have an Instagram.
We're working on an Instagram. We will keep you updated.
One day. You can follow me on Twitter at dnhewitt96.
Follow me on Twitter at grahamcrackers914.
Oh,
Graham crackers914. I need a new Twitter handle.
Yeah, no, I changed mine before we started because I think it was like Danimals. It was
Danimals.
Yeah,
not.
Mine's pretty standard. It's mbergin95, BERGIN, and that's. Follow me on Twitter there.
Yeah, go to georgetownvoice.com, click on the Halftime tab, listen to more podcasts, read more articles.
Taste Test.
Listen to Taste Test. That one's a good one.
Check out my column.
Oh, yeah,
the
check
Real
out
Pulpit.
Graham's column. Check out Untitled Leisure Project, and just stay on the website for a good long while. I think we're out.
We're out.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thank you.